Father, I just thank you for all these people came out tonight to sit in your presence, to hear your word, fresh manna from heaven. And Father God, I'm asking you to do a favor for me tonight. Have your angelic hosts go to and fro throughout these chairs. Minister to your people, Father God. Minister to every need, every hurt. Lift them up higher, Father God, than what they were before they came in. Take them into the deep recesses of your heart and cover them with your pinions, Father, where the enemy cannot attack. And Father, I thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I entitled this first base, which is love. Just like a baseball game, when you run the bases, you must always hit the first base first, right? If you don't, you might have to go back again. You might be asking, what is first base? In the Word, it is what Jesus called the first and greatest commandment. Love is the foundation, and God's been speaking that to us for 40-some years. If your foundation is not love, then He can't use you. And the enemy will totally come and destroy you. So the foundation is love. And as we look at marriages, we look at families, we can see that the foundation isn't love. Right? There's just so much warfare going on in the homes with your kids. And there's so much warfare going on between husband and wife, you know. And if you're just living with people, you know, I mean if you're just friends living together, sometimes you can't even get along. And God said love has to begin in your house first. If you can't get it right in your house, then you won't be able to carry it out into the community. All right? And we all have different personalities. We're all going to act differently, react differently. And we have to be able to live together, plead the blood of Jesus over one another, and just walk in the love of God in our home. And then it should carry into the church. And then from there you carry it into the highways and the byways. That's how love works. First, home. All right, love is the foundation of Matthew 22:36. Teacher, these are people talking to Jesus, which is a great commandment in the law. And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on those two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You have to love God first. And the reason why people can't love one another is because verse 39 said, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know how many people sit in the house of God and don't love their self? The enemy has them believing they're unlovable and they don't love their self. And therefore, if they can't love their self, they can't love others either. What you give, I'm hearing God say, what you give at that point is a fake love. It's not the true love of Christ. So right here, Jesus identifies the first base for every believer. It's the law of love. Love of God and love of others. That is why in Romans 13:9-10, Paul tells us, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witnesses, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's a commandment. Love does not no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. See that? Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. You know, how are people going to separate us from the rest of the world? If we don't show the love of Christ, we're just like the world. And this is why God has told us we have to love as Jesus loved. So that we can be separated. People say they are different. They are peculiar people. There's something about them that we need. How many of you heard people say that? or you've even said, boy, they're really neat people. They can love, you know, what, no matter what goes on around about them. And this is the way each one of us sitting in here tonight, we have to react to every situation in our life. It has to all boil down to love. Right? Love is a fulfillment of the law. And in 1 John 2:10, we also learn that pursuing love is the key to walking in the light and life of God. Pursuing love. 1 John 2:10 says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Notice that walking in love keeps you from having any occasion of stumbling. Far too many of God's children are stumbling around in darkness simply because they are connected to darkness through fear and disobedience to the love commandment. Fear is a connector. Many of God's people operate in fear and even raise their children under the dominant influence of the law of fear. Now, you know, I've heard people say, you know, fathers say, I want my kids to fear me so they'll listen to me. And that's not correct. Your kids should just listen because they love you and they just know you're a parent and that you're just trying to tell them how to do the right thing. And when I hear that, it really bothers me. Well, then they don't respect you. They don't love you. They just fear you. And they're not doing things because you're teaching them right. They're just scared to death you're going to kill them if you get a hold of them. Right? So, many of God's people operate in fear and even raise their children under the dominant influence of the law of fear. Fear is a connector. It connects people to negative results and outcomes. In God's word, God, who is love, has given us the key to breaking free the slavery of the law of fear. And 1 John 4:16 says, we know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul. This love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. Let's read that again. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul. This love that comes from God, that's what you've lived and embraced. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, becomes at home and mature in us, so that we're free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ. There is no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear. Since fear is crippling, a fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment is one not yet fully formed in love. So if you, it says here, if you're walking in fear, then you're not walking in pure love. All right? So pure love tells me no matter what goes on in my life, I don't have to fear it because the love, which is God, is in control of my life and he's handling every situation. Are you understanding this? So fear has no place in you if you really have the love of God abiding within you. And I have found in the body of Christ so many of God's children walking in total fear. There's so many things that you're fearful of, and that's not godly. And the reason why you're walking in fear is because you still don't love God as you ought. And then fear is taken over and the love of God can't perform and do what it needs to be done. All right? And we know that right now on the earth, Satan is trying to make us all fearful. He's throwing everything at us he can to make us fearful. But what we have to do is say, no, I abide in God who is love. Because I abide in God who is love, love casts out all fear. So Satan, you can take your fear and go someplace else because God has me wrapped in his pinions and he's taking care of me and I don't have to fear anything. That's the truth because God just spoke that, all right? That's what you should be saying to the devil every time he tries to bring fear, you know, your way. I heard on a bridge coming down here, they said, this guy said, if you're being worried about your finances, then you have not given them totally over to God. So you're walking around fearful of how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do this or the other? You're not trusting God, who is love and who doesn't want to see you suffer in any way, shape, or form, to take care of your situation. And I'm telling you, I know that works. If you really and truly, I don't care what's going on in your life, don't ever fear anything about it, because the devil can't do anything to you. Unless you go into fear, then he can do all kind of things to you. He can make you stumble all over the place. When he comes with his little calling card, tell him to leave. Don't give in to fear. Don't give in to anything negative. You know what God has spoken over your life? Then live it and just make the enemy leave. It sometimes isn't that simple, but you're going to have to work on it until it is that simple. Amen. Notice it is fear that made you subject to bondage. Fear of death or the fear of loss. Fear is a spiritual connector. Fear connects you to things, and so does love. Fear connects you to things, and so does love. Now, Bob Jones was speaking at a conference in Tennessee. When he began to speak, he spoke of a parable in the Bible, the pearl of great price, in Matthew 13:45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who is a dealer in search of fine and precious pearls, who, on finding a single pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Now, Bob Jones interpreted the parable to mean that the pearl of great price was love. Bob shared an encounter that he had. On August 8, 1995, Bob Jones had died and found himself in heaven. He stood in a line and saw to the left of him a line of people that were going to spend an eternity in hell. Bob was in another line of people that was approaching the Lord. As those in this line approached the Lord would ask them, "Did you learn to love?" The Lord told Bob that he had died before his time and that he needed to go back for souls. Then Bob urged the Lord that he didn't want to go back, but the Lord told him that he could enter into heaven if he would merely look at the line of people that were going to hell. Bob then told the Lord that he would go back for just one soul. The Lord told him, "You are not going back for one soul, you are going back for a billion souls." Now, after Bob shared his visitation from the Lord, he then asked the audience, "Did you learn to love?" And I know I've taught about this before, but God had me. He said, "My people still are not walking in agape love. They still are not walking in the love that my word tells them to walk in. They're still not walking in the love that my son Jesus walked in when he walked this earth." And so this is the reason why you're hearing about love again tonight, is because the body of Christ has not yet grasped with their bosom the real meaning of true agape love. Now, a pastor went to sleep thinking of those words that Bob Jones left with them. As he slept, he had a dream. In the dream, it was as if he was awake and he saw Bob Jones come from heaven into his bedroom. The dream was so real and so vivid, he was a bit frightened. Bob Jones was in a glorified body and the glory of God was all around him. He had piercing dark eyes that would change to blue, and he was watching me. He was looking to see if I had prepared the soil of my heart for the agape love of God. Read that again. Bob Jones was looking to see if he had prepared the soil of his heart for the agape love of God. He was watching me to see if I was one that would be willing to carry on his life message, "Did you learn to love?" So I'm asking you tonight, are you one that God can rely on to carry forth that message, "Did you learn to love?" And when you ask somebody if they have learned to love or if they know how to love, they're going to be watching you to see if you know how to love. And if you don't know how to love, when you ask them that question, you might as well not have asked them at all, because they're not going to pay any attention to you. You know, if you're really a love vessel, a love sponge, whatever you want to call it, then you will be able to love the unlovable. You will be able to turn the other cheek. You won't be constantly talking about what people have done to you. You want a negative. Sometimes it's your testimony, but a lot of people do it negatively. All that stuff won't mean anything to you. You will just love. All right? Now I'm going to give you a testimony here. Somebody took my gas card again and charged some things on it just the other day. And I was furious, and I was checking on the fraud thing, how I could do this and that. And God spoke to me. He said, do not take your brother or sister to court. So I said, all right, Lord. So I talked to the people, did it, and I told them what God said. And I said, I'm not going to do anything to you this time, but don't do it again. And I didn't do it out of hate, anger, bitterness. I just lovingly sat and talked to him and said, I know what you did, because, you know, I got the bill. And I said, please don't ever do it to me again. I said, I love you. And then one person said, I know you do. And they started to cry. But see, if I wouldn't have done all that love, I could have lost two souls I'm trying to win to Christ. And if God wouldn't have spoke to me and said, don't take your brother or sister to court, I was already thinking about it. But see, God says, no, don't do that. We have to be love vessels and do what God is telling us forth to do. Do I hold any animosity against him? Absolutely not, you know. You know, God said, forget about it and move on. And that's what I'm doing. It's hard for them to forget about it, move on, because now they have a guilt complex. And I said to them, please, don't let this bother you. Just don't do it again. All right? This is the way you're going to win souls to Christ. And I really want each one of you in your night to think about this. How are you treating your husband, or how are you treating your wife? How are you treating your children? Even when, what I'm saying is, when they're not nice, how are you treating them? What are you doing to them? What are you saying to them? What are you doing to them and for them when they're not lovable? See, this is where the rubber meets the road, and this is where your love vessel will either shine or be darkened. All right. This young man said the dream was so real that he woke up out of a dead sleep at 5 a.m. in the morning and looked over to where Bob Jones was standing in the dream. He could feel the atmosphere of heaven in the room, and he could sense a cloud of witnesses that were looking in. And Hebrews 12 mentions a cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on to run the race. How many of you know that your dead loved ones are in heaven? Yeah, I'd sit upstairs. I've been in heaven watching you and cheering you on. They really are. God has opened the windows of heaven twice and let me see that. And, you know, and my daddy said, you can do this thing. And right, they have little flags they're waving, you know. But every one of my loved ones that have died and are in heaven, they're all up there cheering me on. Every one of you in here tonight, if you have a loved one that's gone before you and you know they're in heaven, they're up there looking down over. It's like a big football stadium. They're looking down over through heaven, cheering you on, telling you you can do this thing. Don't disappoint them. Last night, I wasn't feeling too well, and I said, boy, I just don't feel good. And I said, I'm really sorry for you guys that are watching me. I didn't mean that. I'm feeling great because God's healed me. I caught myself doing that because I know that they're there, and I know that they're saying, come on, you can do this thing. You don't have to give in to this thing. Keep moving on. And I hold that dear to my heart, all those things like that that God has showed me, because they're yes and amen. And they are given to me to encourage me to go on. And I'm hoping that whatever God has showed you is to encourage you to go on. He doesn't want you to stop in the middle of your race. He doesn't want you to stop three quarters into your race. He wants you to finish your race. So he's always telling you things to encourage you. It was a holy moment, this young man talking. And what he felt the Lord was saying is this. God is not just looking for the gifted, but God is looking to those that would minister the gifts of the Spirit from a foundation of love. Now, 1 Corinthians 13:1 says this. I may speak in different languages, whether human or even of angels, but if I don't have love, I am only a noisy bell or a ringing cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all secrets and know everything there is to know. And I may have faith so great that I can move mountains. But even with all this, if I don't have love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have to help others, and I may even give my body as an offering to be burned. But I gain nothing by doing all this if I don't have love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not selfish, and it cannot be made angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs done against it. Let's go back to verse 4. Love is patient and kind. Love is men to your wives and wives to your men. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not selfish, and it cannot be made angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs done against it. Love is never happy when others do wrong, but it is always happy with the truth. Love never gives up on people. It never stops trusting, never loses hope, and never quits. Love will never end. Now, I just want to stop there before we go any further. Love never gives up on people. You know, when your world starts coming into the house of God, they're not going to be polished. They're going to be really crude. Now, and we start working with them, they're going to be difficult to work with. And we're going to have to go around the same mountain with them over and over again. So it says, love never gives up on people. We can't give up on people. It never stops trusting, never loses hope, and never quits. Love will never end, but all those gifts will come to an end. You know, your prophecy and everything else will come to an end. Even the gift of prophecy, the gift of speaking in different kinds of language, and the gift of knowledge. These will all end because this knowledge and these prophecies we have are not complete. But when perfection comes, the things that are not complete will end. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I made plans like a child. When I became a man, I stopped those childish ways. Don't you yell amen, because I'm going to give you not going to give you a star for that one, a lot of you guys, all right? When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I made plans like a child. When I became a man, I stopped those childish ways. It is the same with us. Now we see God as if we are looking at a reflection in a mirror. But then in the future, we will see him right before our eyes. Now I know only a part, but at that time I will know fully as God has known me. So these three things continue, which is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Are you seeing that? Doesn't matter what other kind of gifts you operate. You can be the best speaker in the world. But if you don't have love, you're just like a clanging cymbal. I was telling Gabriel the other day, I said, all right, Gabriel, now, honey, you're going to be 12 pretty soon. So now you have to put away all your childish things and you have to become a man. So now he's trying to become a man and put away his childish things. And so we have to teach our children that. And I have to teach him to walk in love. And sometimes he can become bitter, but I said, no, can't be bitter. And so he gets over that. See, we're supposed to train our children up in the ways they should go. Now, if I'm a bitter person, I can't teach him about love. And if I'm still going to run around here doing childish things, I can't teach him the need to put childish things away. Are you understanding this? So, okay, you grown-ups, you need to grow up so you can teach your children the right ways, right? And this is why we have such a messed up generation of children right now. They were raised with messed up parents. And so now you have another messed up generation. And now us are going to have to try and correct all this messed up generation stuff, right? Yes, older people, this is what God said. He's going to use us to minister to the younger people and get them straight. But I'm believing with all my heart that everybody in this room tonight, that you're walking the way God wants you to walk. You're walking in agape love, and you're going to be able to train anybody that God puts across your path. You're going to be able to train them up in the ways of the Lord, and they're not going to stumble nor fall because they're going to be watching everything you do. And you better not be a bad image to them because they are watching you, and they're going to judge you by what they see you doing. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. In order to love God, it requires sacrifice. It requires us to forgive and even to love our enemies. To love God requires sacrifice. It requires us to forgive and even to love our enemies. You know, when you feel like you need to be justified or vindicated, then you're not walking in pure love. If you're walking in pure love, then that it requires you to forget what other people have done to you, knowing that one day God will take care of it. Even if you don't live to see it. Even if it's whenever you're in heaven. And then when you're in heaven, you won't care anymore. So why should we care down here? This is what I tell myself. I'm not going to care about in heaven. So why do I want to lose any sleep over it here on earth? Just forgive and go on. All right? In order to walk in the love of God, we must have a pure river flowing out of our hearts. And this river cannot be contaminated in any way. John spoke of the river in Revelation 22:1. He spoke of how the river was flowing out of the throne and out of the Lamb. Out of the throne and out of the Lamb. In Proverbs 4:23, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. You know, I've told you my story how God had to tear down the wall, and we have to guard our heart. We have to make sure we aren't building walls. We have to make sure that we have the love of God in us, and so that, and if somebody does hurt us really, really bad, instead of us coming against that person, we need to go to God and say, God, I don't want to build another brick. I don't want another brick. I don't want no more mortar. I want you to cleanse my heart right now and let me forgive that person totally and completely, never to ever to remember this thing ever again. I do that quite often because right now the enemy is out there really trying to destroy God's chosen people. And he's going to do anything he can to stop you in your tracks, anything. But the biggest thing he's going to work on is your love walk. He's going to try to destroy your love walk. And you're the only person that can guard your love walk. I can't guard it for you. God can't guard it for you. Jesus can't. The holy angels can't. You have to guard your love walk yourself. Amen. You know, when it's all said and done, what does it matter what people say about you? You know, just go ahead and do the things God's calling you forth to do and quietly tell them to shut up. Amen. You know, just keep on loving. Just go on. So Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Love is first base. It is the bottom line for every believer. So if you can't love, just you better go back, keep working on that love walk to get it right, because you're never going to be able to accomplish the things God's calling you to accomplish if your love walk isn't right. Do you know how many young kids hate their parents right now? Do you know how many parents tell their kids they can't stand them, wish they'd never been born? That parent has just put a terrible thought in their children's lives, and that's destroyed their love walk. That's the beginning of the destruction of a love walk. And a parent says, I wish you'd never been born. Well, then why did you have them? You know, you should have made a way not to have them, right? Come on. All right, a failure to understand this, Art I said, love is first base. It is the bottom line for every believer. A failure to understand this is why we haven't operated in the degree of power and victory Jesus purchased for us. Until the body of Christ comes into unity, don't expect the power of God to be relevant. If you're not walking in unity, that means you're not walking in love. And I can't believe the amount of disunity that's in the body of Christ. I just can't believe the jealousy and the backbiting, the envy and strife that goes on in the body of Christ. But yet they profess to be loving Christians and they profess to be going to heaven. And I have news for you. You might be surprised when you stand before Jesus and he doesn't say, come on in. He might say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I don't know you. My kids ask me all the time, are you going to heaven? I said, I really don't know. I just have to work on my salvation. God said, you have to work on your salvation every day. I said, I hope and pray I do. But you know, I could slip up one second and the devil could take my life and I wouldn't end up in heaven. And that's the truth. Read your word. You have to be walking in purity of heart. All right, I said, a failure to understand this is why we haven't operated in the degree of power and victory Jesus purchased for us. It is why we haven't seen the law of abundance working fully and freely in the body of Christ. You know, the law of abundance, you know, a lot of people are having financial struggles. I want you to just sit down and think about how are you treating your family? How are you treating your wife and your kids, or your husband and your kids? You are stopping your own financial blessing. You really are. You know, as much as what's happened in my life, God continues to bless me. Why? Because I continue to love those who come against me. I don't hold bitterness and strife. It's not worth it. I need to be blessed. Don't you? I mean, we're in difficult times, and I need to be blessed. And the only way I can be blessed is if I stay in the love walk. All right, I said, yes, we have seen some results here and there, you know, with things God does in the house of God. But the reality is that too many of God's people are dying, too many are sick, too many are broken in debt, and too many families are falling apart. You know, if I was on the street and some of you come to me and said, come on into the house with God with me, I'd say, no, I don't think so. I'm happier out here than I would be in your church. Y'all know when you work, you love where you work, you become a family workplace, and you know, and then somebody invited me to a full gospel businessman meeting, then I became born again, I come in the house of God thinking everything was going to be hunky-dory. I'd never been treated so bad in all my life as I was in the house of God. My people at work, the people at work treated me better. They all went to church, but they treated me better than the house of God did. That blew my mind. It just about made me not want to go to church no more. But I'm not that type of people. So you see what I'm saying? If you're going to talk, then walk it out. Be what you say you are. Be what Christ made you to be, and that's a love vessel. All right, faith hangs on the law of love. In Galatians 5:6 says, when someone belongs to Christ Jesus, it is not important if they are circumcised or not. You know, they were arguing about circumcision. The important thing is faith, the kind of faith that works through love. Don't tell me you have faith if you don't have love, because faith doesn't work without love. This explains why so many of God's children who claim to be faith people see so little in the way of miracles or breakthroughs. Using your faith without operating in love simply won't work. Or, you know, as I said that, I think about Kenneth Hagin Sr. I think about Kenneth Copeland. And I can't remember the other guy's name. And Jesse Duplantis. They all are faith people, but they're love people too. I mean, they abound in love. You can look at their families and know that man is a love person, because their whole family is full of love. Their children, their grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Everybody's walking in pure love. Why? Because the man was a love vessel for God. And it just went right on down. And they have faith like you wouldn't believe. And they have an abundance of everything. And everybody's fussing because one of them might have two or three jets. But you know what? They have two or three jets because they learned to love walk right up front. And they kept the love walk going, and God blessed them as they walked in faith. All right. Using your faith without operating in love simply won't work. And I put down the example. I went and got gas for the first time in my car in 15, 20 years. Because everybody else put gas in. I couldn't get my gas car to work outside, so I went inside and paid for the gas, all right? I went outside and put the nozzle in the tank. I kept pulling the handle, and I said to Isaiah, why won't the gas come out of here? And I said, I guess I'm going to have to go back in there and tell the lady she didn't put the button on or something. And I turned around, and I saw, what kind of gas do you want? I didn't push that button to tell them what kind of gas I wanted, all right? So I pushed the button to tell it what grade of gas I wanted. Then gas came out. All right? In the same way the nozzle works, faith is present in your spirit, but without love, your faith is not engaged. Faith works by love. That is why unforgiveness causes faith to seem feeble and ineffective. You can't walk in unforgiveness. If you say you're a love vessel, you cannot walk in unforgiveness. So if you walk in unforgiveness, you're not walking in love. I want you to get to this is the truth. Now, we can understand why Jesus said all of the law and the prophets hang upon a single two-part commandment to love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor. So saying all this about faith, now we can understand why Jesus said all of the law and the prophets hang upon a single two-part commandment to love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor. Faith is hanging on that love commandment because faith is released and functions under the law of faith. The law of faith hangs or is totally dependent on the law of love. So if I'm not walking in love, I might as well not go out there and say, God, you're going to give me a new home. It's not going to work. I can't walk around telling everybody, well, I'm healed, and then see the manifestation of it if I'm not walking in love. Love and faith work together. Faith works, but not without love. The shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the preparation of the gospel of peace, every weapon and spiritual asset at your disposal all hang on that first and greatest commandment, love. Are you all love vessels tonight? Come on. We can do this thing. We really can. We can love our enemies. We can. You know, my first husband, you know, he divorced me. He made me live like a pauper all my life. I thought we didn't have any money, and he was stashing it away. And then he divorced me, took everything I had. And now today, he comes and stays at my house because my children live there because they want to see him. I don't have animosity against him. Our life finished. And he wants to see his children. They want to see him. So he comes. I treat him just like I would anybody else. I don't say, well, you took all my money. You took everything I had. Try to take my home. I don't go through all that because it's not worth it. And he's going to go to heaven. That's the only important thing. He got saved. And he's going to go to heaven. And that's what's important. And I'm not going to go to hell having aught against him. Amen. Are you understanding this? Come on. Who can you bring in and feed at your table? And God just asked you that. Can you bring your worst enemy in and give them a meal? And I'm not saying you have to do what I do. I'm just saying, you know, we have to love our enemies. All right? I did draw the line though when he tried to tell me I run my household. I said, no, we don't go there. This is my household. But I didn't do it in anger. I just said, no, we don't go there. All right? Come on. Love is first base. Love is first base. It is your foundation for success and victory. Don't skip it. John 15, verse 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. See that? He also trims every branch that produces fruit to prepare it to produce even more fruit. You have already been prepared to produce more fruit by the teaching I have given you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. This is Jesus talking to you. He says, you have already been prepared to produce more fruit by the teaching I have given you. Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you. No branch can produce fruit alone. It must stay connected to the vine. It is the same with you. You cannot produce fruit alone. You must stay joined to me. So what you have to do to have true love, pure love, is to stay in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If you don't have that, then you're never going to have the true love that God's talking about. And John 15:9 said, I have loved you as the Father has loved me. Now continue in my love. Excuse me, and this is God speaking to all of us here tonight. I have obeyed my Father's commandments, and he continues to love me. In the same way, if you obey my commands, I will continue to love you. I have told you these things so that you can have the true happiness that I have. I want you to be completely happy. This is what I command you. Love each other as I have loved you. The greatest love people can show is to die for their friends. You are my friends if you do what I tell you to do. I no longer call you servants because servants don't know what their master is doing. But now I call you friends because I have told you everything that my Father told me. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I gave you this work, to go and produce fruit. This is the work you're supposed to do. Go and produce fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you anything you ask for in my name. Love is my command. Love each other. If the world hates you, remember that they hated me first. If you belong to the world would love you as it loves its own people. But I have chosen you to be different from those in the world, so you don't belong to the world, and that is why the world hates you. So if I've heard people, Christians, fuss about because people don't like them. Could it be because they're of the world and they don't like the Jesus in you? Come on, you have to take your scriptures and you have to use it. You have to apply them to yourself. But this love walk is so very, very important right now at this given time in your walk with God. And the enemy is after you tooth and nail. He does not want you to succeed in the love walk, because if you don't have the love walk down pat, he doesn't have to worry one lick about you, because you're not going to do anything to his kingdom. None. Now, this is what God wants to do tonight. He says, I want to give them a love shield that the enemy cannot penetrate ever again. And that's what the altar call is going to be about. God taught you of his love tonight, and how you can get the love and keep the love, and what you're supposed to do with the love, with that love. Now, if you really received all this, and as you were hearing all this or reading it, whatever, and it was penetrating your heart, and you were saying to yourself, God, I want to be one who can love the unlovable. I want to be the one that can forgive when really nobody should forgive. I want to walk in the love that you are telling me about tonight. Then you are the ones that God wants to give you, put a love shield around about you that the enemy will not ever be able to penetrate ever again and steal your love away from you. No matter what's going to happen to you with this love shield around you, you will continue in your love walk with God. The altar's open for that. And if you really want to walk in love and want that shield, God's ready to give it to you. And I'm telling you, with my love walk, I had built a wall, and God said, he said, let me tear it down, I'll protect you. He gave me that love shield. I didn't know it then, but I know it now. And I can love the unlovable. I can honestly say that. And I can honestly say that I can love those who despitefully use me. And this is what that love shield will do. Just raise your hands and just thank God for the love shield. Just receive from him tonight. And after we do that, then we'll do the ministry of the prophetic. But first, you need this love shield. You can receive all the prophetic words that you can get, but if you don't have love, they're not going to do you any good.